I want to speak to you from a message entitled Learning from David. Learning from David. You know, the word of God is written that we can learn from it. You follow what I'm saying? That we can learn from it. So God expects when the word of God goes forth that it would do what he intends for it to do. Now, God has it set up that it's not going to return to him void. But at the same time, once it goes out, if we do not grasp it, the word of God, if we do not hold on to the word of God, if we do not let the word of God speak to our natural bone souls, well, then what's happening is the one that God intends the word of God to bless, you miss your blessing. You see, a lot of times we think our blessing is just in material things. Sometimes we just think our blessings is in monetary things. But when you really start Christians becoming real spiritual, man, you have a longing for spiritual things. See, you understand the separation from the physical and the spiritual. You understand the separation from the temporal and the eternal. See, because especially older you get, you know we are growing closer to the eternal. We are growing closer to the spiritual. And I tell you, because we're growing closer to the grave, aren't you glad that there is something on the other side of the grave for us? Things get better. Because sometimes in those dark times of this life, while we're so, and some of y'all, oh my, I don't want to get ahead of myself this morning. But you know, longer you live, and Sister Reynolds, man, she could tell us some things. We think we know something. We haven't been around as long as she has. Now, she can just sit there with that beautiful smile. She just smiled. Okay, you know that? Well, where were you in this age? Now, I wasn't even born. I don't even think at that time I was a twinkle in the eye of mom and dad. But it is something powerful about the word of God if we would receive it in the way God intend for it to go out to us, into our hearts. Learning from David. Man, I love David because when God told the story about David, when the Holy Spirit wrote the story about David, God did not leave out the pitfalls and the sin in his life. He didn't leave out the dark side of his life. He didn't leave out the hurting times of his life. He didn't leave out the dry places in his life, the tunnels of darkness. But he also didn't leave out the mountaintops. He didn't leave out his relationship with God. God said, this is a man after my own heart. I like the way David treat me in praise. I like the way David treats me in worship. I like the way David sets me on a pedestal and leaves me there. You see, so it's so much we can learn from David on the spiritual side. And see, even all of his troubles and all of his sin, God didn't give up on him. Huh? And so what that does for us, it allows us to say, once you belong to God, he ain't going to give up on you. I think they sing a song around here about what? How do it go? Don't give up on God. What's the other part? Because he won't give up on you. Huh? That is an incentive. When I know God won't give up on me, I can get up again. When I know God haven't given up on me, I can try again. When I know God have not and will not give up on me, I got an anticipation that tomorrow will be better because God have not given up on me. Sometimes I give up on myself. Sometimes you may give up on me, but we don't matter that much in comparison to God. See, God is God all by himself. There is no other God. And I like this about God. He does things according to the counsel of his own will. Y'all ain't with me this morning. I think I just like to say that. I got that from Lamont. Now I'm getting stuff from him. I'm excited this morning. And you know, I'm concerned about my sister and her children. Been in and out of the hospital, over there praying, all of us around her bedside. All this stuff is going on. But there's a joy in my heart. When I look away from that and look to God, see, God see my aching heart. He see all of that. And some kind of way, with all of that, God has a way of comforting me and encouraging me. He said, because you still got to preach. Huh? See, you got to preach because you know that you know that you know what you're talking about. And even now, when I'm holding you together, because your heart want to fall apart, you know the strength and glory of God. See, it's nothing like until you experienced it. Amen, amen. Learning from David. David was a man who loved his God. And he had an intimate relationship with God. It was God himself who made David king. And if you would turn with me to, I want to show you something. 1 Samuel 16 and 1. When you get a chance, if you haven't read it, if you read 15, you see how Saul disobeyed the word of God. He didn't kill all the Amalekites. He did what he wanted to do. And then he said to Samuel, he says, you know, it was the people. You know, but God says, you know, in verse 22 of, I'm going to read a little bit of that, verse 22 of 15 says, so Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord. I want you to highlight or write it somewhere or weld it in your memory, rejecting the word of God. We're not talking about the person of God now. We're talking about the word of God, but rejecting the word of God. He also has rejected you from being king. God about to make a change. See, when you keep on rejecting the word of God, God is about to make a change in your life. You just keep right on rejecting the word of God. God is about to make a change. But where I want to go is in the first verse of 16, but I just want to read a little bit of that, but you can read all that in your spare time. God says, now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite. For I have provided myself a king among his sons. Now, y'all know that story. But what I want to pull out here, God chose David. God handpicked David. God elected David. It was God's choice to make him king. He says the people wanted Saul and I let him have him. But this ain't got nothing to do with the people. This is a choice of God himself. He says, Samuel, you don't even know about this choice. You see, but you're my mouthpiece, Samuel. I'm going to send you to Jesse's house because I've already handpicked my next king. David loved the Lord. This man was chosen. This man was selected by God himself. But you know what? When I was reading that and putting together this message, I was all excited about that. And God just turned the corner as I was reading that. He says, you're excited about that, me handpicking him and telling Samuel, I've already got, yes, Lord, I am. Because, Lord, you did this. No one counseled you to make this selection. You did this according to your own sovereign will. He said, hey, by the way, I did the same for you. The Christians, every one of you. Whoa! He says, look, the same God that you hyped up about, that you impressed with, his choosing, his selection, his appointing, I'm the same God that elected, preordained every Christian before the foundation of the world. He says that. Now, when you understand that is me doing this for you, let the excitement keep on generating in your heart because it was me according to the counsel of my own will. I selected you. Because we don't understand that. We don't get all up with that. But God turned me from David, selecting David. And he said, not that you all up with that, but that I would pick him, hand pick him. And you are interested, Ricks, in that. And you're all excited about that. And even how I'm talking to my mouthpiece, Samuel. He said, by the way, Rick, I picked Samuel. You remember when his mama couldn't have him, couldn't have no children. She was barren. She came and she talked to me a little while. See, sometimes when we are empty, when we don't have what we want, you need to go talk to God. You need to go prostrate yourself out before the altar. You need to let him know because God have a supply that you don't have. God have power you know not of. But you got to know that he's more than able to do. God says, sometimes you act like I'm not able, so you won't come to me. He said, I picked Samuel. I gave Samuel. And his mother had enough sense. So I know this boy came from the Lord. He made my womb fruitful. Gave me a male child. Say, once I wean him, I'm going to take him back. I'm going to dedicate him to the Lord. Because I understand without God permitting me to be a mother, I wouldn't be a mother. Yeah, Lord, that is right, Lord. When this chosen one, David, found himself in a difficult position, he searched out by faith and received new strength from the Lord. He did not let fear of being on the run from his son, Absalom, in the wilderness of Judah from stopping him from looking up to the Lord and reaffirming his faith in the Lord and his love for the Lord. You know, one of the best times for you to reaffirm your faith and your love and all that you say you have for the Lord is in hard times. It's the best time to do it. Because what you are saying, as he, all the things he said in Romans 8 about me, the things that won't separate me from the love of God. Those things come on you sometimes, don't they? Huh? But I need to have my faith so built up that when they come and I'm weak, I know he's still strong. When I'm weak and I'm lonely and I'm in a dry place in my life, I know I still have a shepherd. When I need a green pasture for him to lead me to, because right now I'm laying on rocks in a rocky place, a hard place in life, I need him just to take me by the hand and lead me to the still waters. But I need to have faith enough to know that my inabilities do not hinder the abilities of my God. See, sometimes we confuse this thing. Sometimes we get so weak, we won't come to church. Huh? If any way you can get here, come anyhow. If you can get here, come here. Understand why you come. Start coming to church with a purpose. Know your purpose why you come. I'm not going to go through all these, but I want to give these to you if you're writing them down. If you look at us who being selected or drawn, John 6:44, you'll see in there that no man comes to God unless he is drawn by God. He's directed by God and God's sovereign selection. Acts 13:48, you see you're being appointed to eternal life. Romans 8:29, predestined, to be conformed to the image of God. Romans 9:11, you see that according to God's purpose, you was elected. 1 Thessalonians 1:3-4, your election by God. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, God chose you. 2 Timothy 2:10, chosen one. Oh, look at you. You don't have to call me out my name. Just call me the chosen one. One of the chosen ones. And there's so many more, but I just want to give you those and you can look at them. But where I want to go now, but I wanted to give you that backdrop, a little bit of that backdrop into the life of David and into your own life and how God has chosen you or preordained you before the foundation of the world. You see, a lot of times you get down on yourself because you think you was an afterthought. You know, a lot of times the way people treat their children and if it's a dysfunctional family, and sometimes you got to watch how you treat one better than the other and all that kind of stuff. You don't want to do that because if you do that, one of the children may feel that you really didn't want me, or you really don't love me, or you love them more than you love me, so you want to balance that thing and do what you can do to encourage that. See, sometimes until the children, they get grown and they mature and they listen with understanding, they'll understand, because what happens sometimes that can be misunderstanding. If a mother got 12 children, and she got one that's weak, need a lot of help, or maybe disabled or something, they're gonna pour more time on that one. They're gonna help that one. They're gonna make sure that one got everything it need. And you say, you didn't give me that. You didn't need shoes with braces on them that may cost a little bit more than the ones that you had to wear. You see, if they didn't wear these corrected shoes, their feet would be formed in a position that when they're grown, we don't want it to be. So I had to spend a little extra money on your brother that I had to work with his features to have him to be like you already are. You looked at it as special attention, but what it was, he was the weaker one, and you were the stronger one, and I had to try to bring him up to where you were. But now, we are not always strong in every area. We all have areas that we may be a little weak in. Okay, where did I tell you to go? Well, we're in... Now, I read that. Now, I didn't say, Sister Paula, Psalm 63. I just want to make sure that you get there. Psalm 63. That was the backdrop what I gave you in Samuel. I was giving you a little backdrop on David. And then I gave you a little laundry, spiritual laundry list of who you are. Chosen, that, you know, and all those things. They on the board. Oh, look here. Boy, I tell you, I got some help in the house. Amen. So he said, Pastor, you're moving too fast. Now I'm going to tell you something. Write this down. Don't say, this is about you. This is yours. I'm talking about David, but that's you and me. When I looked at that, I had to stop. I said, too many places. That's New Testament. Are you with me? Okay, let's look at this now. This is when, I believe, when David was running either from Saul or Absalom. But, what we can learn from David, the first thing is we see David had a desire for God. And we're looking at the first two verses here. He says, oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land, where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Now, when you go over into 2 Samuel 15, you can read the story of Absalom winning the hearts of the people and want to take over and running David for his life into the wilderness of Judah. You know, if you want to go back and look at that. But also when you look at this, you'll see when he was going out with his servants, also the Levites and the priests were going with them. And David stopped. He stopped the priests. He said, go back and take the ark back to Jerusalem. Take it back to the tabernacle. Take it back where it belongs. Because where I'm going, if God give me favor, I'll be back. Take it back. But now he's away from the church. That's why I say, when you come to the church, just don't see it. You who are saved, you who are connected to Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you. When you come, David says, I'm in a position now, I got to call on God out here in the wilderness. I'm on the run. And there's a longing in my heart because in the tabernacle, see, the ark represent the strength and the glory and the presence of God. But he says, I prefer being back in the tabernacle. You got to see this now. But even though I'm not there, I'm remembering, I'm longing for the strength of God. And say, even now, I'm in a place where the water, there's not a lot of water, and I'm in the wilderness, and I'm in a dry place. But also, sometimes we're in dry places in our lives. He said, but you know what? Even though I'm in a dry place in my life, I'm considering my soul. Not only sometimes we consider our flesh, our body so much, we prioritize. I'm talking about Christians now. I'm talking about the blood-bought folk now. We prioritize that so much, we don't have no time left for our soul. But David says, you know what? I told him to take the ark back, God, back to the tabernacle. And I believe when you help me out here and you straighten up my enemies, I'm going to be able to go back to the tabernacle to be with the preachers, be with the priests, be with the ark. So I'm saying, God, we set up our churches. Oh, we know the building is not the church, as we say. But it's that place that God say, fail not to assemble yourself to go. He said it. Because there's something about the assembling of yourselves together where the man of God is. I'm using that from the priest. He say, go back. Zadok, go back. You got to see this out. Zadok, go back. We going with you, David. You remember now, he's God's chosen king. Didn't I show you that? We God's chosen priest. He said, go back and take the ark with you. When God delivers me, I'm going back where I want to worship at. You should have places privately for your devotions, and also you need a public gathering with your brothers and sisters. Paul said that's the public gathering. I'm going to tell you something. When you make light of your own church and coming, Satan is playing a powerful game with you. There's no way God will command you to come if he didn't have nothing for you. See, first of all, God is not an ignorant God. He's not a God without understanding. God says there are some things I'm going to deposit in the church, the public gathering. I'm not going to deposit in the private. So when I tell you you need the public as well as the private time, guess what? You need it. And when I come to church with expectation, I know he have already told me I need to be there. And so when I come, I should come with expectation. So when them people up here singing, get them hands up. You didn't come here to play. You are not the one that should get all the attention here. We didn't come to worship ourselves. We came to worship the living God. So when we come in this public place where the man of God, we have been anointed by God to stand in Christ's stead, there got to be something that God, the Holy Spirit, is given that he may feed the flock. And God say, fail not to go. Fail not to go. Fail not to go. You know, that's enough for me right there. That's enough for me right there. And I want you to learn from David. He says, now, my soul is thirsty. Being in the wilderness prompt David to think of the thirst of his soul. He says, Lord, There's a physical thing going on with me, and there's also, most important, there's a spiritual thing going on with me. Have you ever had a spiritual attack like this that you just say, you know what, we know when our money's funny, that's a hard thing, ain't it? You know, broke, busted, and disgusted. Can't be trusted. And that's how y'all say it? But watch this. As a Christian, sometime you should feel broke in your spiritual journey, on your spiritual journey. That I'm doing okay financially today. But you know, I need to get in. I need to go back to church. No, ain't nobody telling me. Nobody coming after me. But that other part of me. See, the physical, I got it squared away. The physical looking good. But because I'm dichotomy, there's another part of me, an immaterial part of me. The material part of me, it looks good. Doing well. But something's still wrong with me. I have a thirst. I have a longing. I have a desire that's choking me out with it. And this desire is a spiritual desire that I may be close. Closer to my Jesus. And it's bothering me. And I need to get there. I need this quenched. See, we got a craving for everything else, saints. But we need a craving for the closeness of our God. We burn with passion for everything and everybody else. But when the last time you say, I got them things squared away. But there's like, there's a void inside of me. Until I go to church where I belong since I've been chosen, since I've been elected, since God predetermined my salvation. When I think about it, I gotta get there. Because it's more to living on earth as a new creation than what I'm picking up on my own. Learn something from David. God said he's a man after my heart. You said, God, I want to be a woman after your heart. Man, I want to be. But when the last time you thirst? Or do you play with church like it's a game? Because you don't understand where it should fit in your life. Or do you see the man of God as an actor or entertainer? Oh, let's go there and preach a good message. Make sure it's a good one. Well, it's a good one when we're feeding you and he's saying, thus says the Lord. Not entertaining you. It should be a thirst. I just want to say that. You know, I've seen this. I've seen this with Brother Bernard, Brother Ashburn. I've seen it when he was going through his trouble. Brother Bernard was going through his trouble with his cancer. Soon as he could with his crutch, he had every excuse to stay and lay there in the bed. Bring me to the church. Take me to the church. And you're bringing him in. When I saw him and knew his condition, and I saw him, I read it. I knew. I'm going to be with the Lord. But if I got a little bit left, I know the importance of getting back to the tabernacle, getting back to the place God have ordained that I should assemble myself and fail not to do it. He said, that longing, I had to get up. Get me up. With the cancer and everything, get me up. Put me in the car. One more time, I got to go back. I remember telling that man of God, that if God ever called you, boy, when I worked with him at the air station, I'm going with you. What you talking about, man? I'm just getting saved. No, no, no. I see something in you you don't see. If God ever called you to pastor, I'm leaving Gateway. I'm going with you, Rick. Man, I can't even holler read the New Testament from the Old Testament. I don't know about the same thing. What you talking about? By and by, it's going to show itself. By and by, it did. By and by, not only was I saved, I was called into ministry. Not only was I called into ministry, did my apprenticeship at Calvary, I was called out to plant a New Testament church. And Bernard said, what did I tell you years back? I saw it. I'm going with you. And he went all the way. I preached his homegoing. The guy he helped lead to the church became his pastor, lead to Christ. I'm not telling you stories. Let's go on. Not only did he have a desire to praise, but 3 to 5, he had a heart of praise for God. Isn't that beautiful, y'all? Because your loving kindness is better than life. You know, his love gave us new life. How many know that? For God, so what, y'all? Love the world that he what? He gave who? His only begotten son. Come on, y'all. Watch this. David said, I understand something about your loving kindness is better than life. It can give you eternal life. He said, my lips shall praise you. See, there it is. David is saying, because I understand your attributes, God, but not only do I understand your attributes, I see how your attributes apply to my personal life. I see how you use your attributes for me. He said, therefore, my lips shall praise you. So when we say, well, I ain't got to use my lips, yes, you do. If you got vocal cords, who gave them to you? You may not shout as loud as somebody else, but every now and then you ought to say, God, because of your loving kindness toward me, I'm not talking about what mama got. I'm not talking about what daddy got. I'm not talking about what brother got. I'm not talking about what the pastor got, but what you have done for me and mine. My lips cannot stay together. With all that knowledge of your loving kindness, look at us. Look at my children, my grandchildren. Look at what you have done. David said, take the ark. That's a symbol of the strength, the glory, in the presence of God back to his rightful place. One day we're going to have a temple, but right now, the tabernacle, the tent, take it back. Because I'm coming back with the help of the Lord. You see, some things you don't need to take with you when you're about to go in your wilderness. Some things you just need to leave alone, and God will permit you to go through some dark time, some hard time, some wilderness experience. But here's the point. You cannot, when you've been chosen, you cannot go through those times alone. Because he says, I never leave you. I never forsake you. And when you know that God is on your side, you got a boldness about you. See, you don't get arrogant, you just get bold. Bold has the idea, I'm just confident. See, you serving God and you are not confident that the God you serve is able to meet your needs. You ain't confident because you won't step out on him. I'm confident. I'm out on him. If I drown tomorrow, it's because he permitted it. It's never because he ain't able to hold me up. I'm standing on his promises. I'll supply your needs according to my riches and glory. I can do all things through Christ who give me the enablement. I didn't just come to this yesterday. Oh, no. Oh, no. And I see the grace of this church, knowing my frailties. It ain't nothing but God. So I can't give the glory to nobody but God. So when you see me say, I'm so glad I don't sit on the pulpit now and I can have my back, because I'm here praising God. Sitting up here, you watching people. If you got a bad day, it may give me a bad day. You got a good big look, watching you get up, get down, get up. And now I got an attitude. Because Satan will take that stuff and mess the preacher mind up. And that ain't even my message. But I done got another message watching them faces. Can we get real in the house of God? But oh, I'm so glad my back is turned. I don't see nothing but the quiet. I said, hey. And I tell you what, too. Quiet, I don't mean no harm. I got to tell you, too. Because I told you I'm not looking back that way. See, I'm going to look that way when I get to preach. But when I'm here, y'all kind of watch it with your facial expression. All to Jesus. Well, if I don't say it, you don't know if folk watch it. Now all of a sudden I say, I turn this way to keep from looking at that way. And now I'm getting what I'm trying to do that way. I'm getting it that way. I can't look out the window. And I'm not like those that get up and just walk out the sanctuary, because I know why I'm here. I'm like David. I want to come to the house of God. And I don't need nobody to say, all right, to say, oh, that's not all right. You need to tell them, no, it ain't all right for no Christian. No, it ain't all right for nobody that's blood boy. No, is that all right for someone who's been a chosen one? See, he chose me for a purpose, not just to save my miserable soul, but I may honor him. I may praise him. I may worship him. That all of my adoration will go unto him. That I'll bow to him. I'll see him as the greatest. See, he must increase in my life on a daily basis, and I must keep decreasing. All glory, all honor, all praise go to my God. David say, I thirst. David said, I praise. Is it that we don't praise because we don't thirst? He said, I thirst, I praise. I don't thirst, I don't praise. See, praise say, I'm glad about him. I'm thankful to him. He didn't have to do what he did. I don't mean no harm. Don't take me wrong. What I'm about to say, don't take me wrong. But let me let you know it deals with the sovereignty and the providence of God, okay? Everybody didn't get chose. That's in the doctrine of election. Huh? Wait a minute. Do y'all really know that? Everybody's not going to heaven. Do you know that? And the reason you were going, you were chose. Now, I don't fully understand all of that, but it's true. Watch this now. Since you know that, that you are a chosen one, why can't you praise him? You did not have to be one of the chosen. It just so happened you was. And I want to tell you, thank you for choosing me. God said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And I said, thank you. I said, thank you. You got no problem out of me. You go get a problem out of Daniel, you ain't got no problem out of me. Thank you. That's why I'm keep reading, I'm preaching. I want to learn more about the one that chose me. Are y'all with me? Because, you know, I look at myself and say, what is it about my sinful self that make you want me? Well, a lot of folk don't want me. A lot of folks see my shortcomings and see I ain't all that. And you go through life like a lot of that. But God, you greater than all them folk. You greater than all of those folk. And yet the greatest of the greatest, he chose me. I don't understand that, but I believe it. His word tells me, Marsha. And I'm just glad about it. When you see your pastor praising him, you see me up there with my hands like that before the Lord, that's what I'm thinking about. Everybody is not going to be chosen for salvation. Now, I know you don't want to hear that, but you read your Bible. You can't do nothing with the doctrine of election. Let me move on. Am I making any sense? Am I helping anybody? Aren't you glad you're here today? Take something home for all the rest of this week. So then we see a desire for God, a heart of praise for God. Let me stay right here and finish this, man. All right. Because your loving kindness, that's what got me. Your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I what? While I live. You know, man, you know what I want God to say to me? He said, man, when you were living down on earth, why didn't you praise me while you were living down there? Now, see, you ain't got no choice in heaven. You ain't got no choice up there, buddy. Holy, holy Lord, God Almighty. You follow me? But this is the good part. I got a choice here. I choose to praise. I choose to open up my lips. I choose to put my hands up. And the dignified folks said, you ain't got to do all that. Well, see, you the same person don't consider me dignified. I wouldn't be your choice. You ain't fooling me. See, let me tell you something. A lot of folk wouldn't have chose you. Now they're choosing you now because what have happened, you done cleaned up a little bit. You don't got educated. You got a little money. You got that. They choose you now. But would you have chose me when I was in the muck and the mire? When you saw me as that little rooty one? When you saw me and I'm undone? I haven't grown in my life. I haven't developed. There's some things I'm a little rusty with. Some things I don't understand. And you will look at me. I didn't look like the best to pick up the litter. Talk to me, somebody. You wouldn't have picked me then. But now that I have climbed up in society, it ain't no big deal for you to pick me. Those accomplishments that I have made, you know I'm who I am because what you see, God saw me as I was. And he didn't wait till I got my degree. He didn't wait till I got all of that stuff. He said, first, before the foundation of the world, in eternity past, I'ma pick you. I'ma preordain you. You wouldn't have picked me. You ain't fooling me. I wouldn't have been the pick of the letter. Would you have picked me when I was dirty? Would you have picked me when I was lonely? Would you have picked me when I couldn't find my way? When you talk about picking myself up with my own bootstraps, I didn't have the boots or the scraps. Would you have picked me then? I saw what some of y'all said to me then. You ain't gonna be nothing. Your family ain't nothing. You ain't gonna be nothing. I'm a little boy. You saying this, and you a grown woman, and I've never forgotten it. Why you say that about me? You don't know me. I can't help what family I was born in. We're doing the best we can. And you know, I'm happy. I mean, we are poor, but it's okay. I don't know it. Because everybody around me, you poor too. We borrow from one another. Ain't but a few people got a car. I'm making a point. You ain't fooling me now. See, now you may think I'm the pick of the litter because I got some accomplishment. That's why I would never forget the people that when I didn't have none of that. Didn't know I would ever get that. They put their arms around me. They loved me for who I was right then. Not who I'm going to be, but who I am. With my hurts and everything. See, every now and then when you're in a dry place, you need to go somewhere you can get some water. Because I'm thirsty and I'm in a dry place of my life, don't mean I want to stay here. See, sometimes I just need a little help. That's all. I can handle the rest. But right now, I'm not going to be able to handle the assignment before me if I don't get help right now. Y'all ain't with me. Mm-mm. But anyhow, God do you. You know, I love being people cheerleaders. I've been a cheerleader for a whole lot of folk on this journey. I've been a cheerleader for a whole lot of folk. And I love it. Oh, I don't have to get there. I get there when you get there. I partook in your success. I'm a partaker. Sometimes you got to be satisfied whether you get there or not. Be satisfied with your part that God permits you to play in other success. No matter how small it is, but it was needed. Let me move on. David says, not only do I have a desire for God, not only do I have a heart of praise for God, I have a mind that remembered God. You know, we say all we want to say in verse 6. Well, we can praise God just for who he is. That sounds real good, and we should. But let me tell you something. God can be all that he is, but have never done anything for you. You ain't gonna be praising him. See, when he speaks here of remember, see, you can't remember something that didn't happen. You remembering yesterday what happened yesterday, huh? When I remember you on my bed, I look at you. I meditate on you in the night watch. He said, when I lay down, my mind go back, huh? Mind go back, Sister Maggie. I remember when I want nobody's pick of the litter, but look at me now. Oh, God said I handpicked Big Luke, a man of integrity with his money and finances, and love the Lord and love the church. I'm going to give him to Maggie and Dion. Oh, y'all ain't with me. I meditate on you in the night watches because you have been, look at here, my help. He said, the reason I'm going back, remembering, he did something for me, Danny. There it is. You helped me. Huh? And I'm remembering yesterday, you helped me. Huh? Oh, look at here. You don't forget that. See, so what David is saying, hey, y'all, this God, I'm going to praise my lip and I'm talking about that. Hey, look, he do a whole lot for me. He helped me. You follow what I'm saying? Have you ever helped Yusuf the Moon? Huh? I know he have. Huh? Oh, look at that new house. And I remember when you cried out, Brother Boone, let's get it. You got to get that. Pastor, working on it right now. Huh? And I know because I have worked on it. We're there to see it. Hey, we're going to partake of this thing. Because my sister and her husband try to do all he can. Look at here. See, even when you get in them dry places, you got to remember. Her suddenly see pretty enough. Yeah, you can't help forgetting them places. Sickness, finances, mental illness. A lot of things can carry you there. Am I right about it? Huh? You may not want to go, and you may say, I ain't claiming it. No, it claimed you. I saw it. See, it claimed you and picked you up and took you there. You ain't want to go. You didn't think you should be there, but you're in that dry place through circumstance. Are you with me, Sister Brother Ronnie? But watch this. You know what he's telling us? Learn from David. He said, yeah, but whenever I can lay down, whether it's in the wilderness or in the palace, I can meditate. I can remember. See, right now in my dry place, I need some help. Who do I know that helped me when I was in a dry place before? Let me remember his name. Let me remember who it was. Oh, it was my God. I didn't get this job by myself. It was my God. In spite of me, he gave me favor. And I know it. But I'm going to tell you something about you. God wants you to say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I ain't got to say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, if you ain't been redeemed, don't say so. God, I've never done nothing for you, don't say so. But if you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, give the Lamb glory in the house of God. If you can testify how good he's been with you, if you have meditated, you can go back in your dry places, your dark places, didn't know how you gonna get out. He gave you favor with those in authority to bless you. If you can testify, stand on your feet and tell God, it was me, God. I had my dry places. I've had my dark places. When man couldn't help me, God, you came. When I meditate, it was you, God. It was you, God. It's personal. You ain't got to know about my dry places. God knew. Some of the dry places, even if you knew, you couldn't help me because you weren't able to help me through what I was going through. But it was God. He came right on time. He came to see about me. Let me come on off now. He says right here, when I remember you on my bed. I think every now and then you need to tell people what you can share when you remember God. Give a testimony sometime. I meditate on you in the night watches. Because, see, I'm not doing it for nothing, for naught. Because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. See, a lot of times you do not want the world or your brothers and sisters think because you don't rejoice in the Lord that he haven't helped you, or nor are you abiding under his wings. Rejoice. Rejoice. Then again I say, rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Look at here. He said, I got a soul that clings on to God. Yeah, I'm tossed and I'm driven to and fro with circumstance and situation. But my soul, Sister Phoebe, is locked in like a pit bull on God. So you can, this world can toss me and turn me, but it does not unshackle my soul from my God. There's a clinging. God said, cling to me. Hold on tight to me. David said, my soul have gotten that email. My soul received that text, that spiritual text, and my soul clings to the Lord. Hold on to the Lord. He said, all this, he's thinking about this. And follow him. Your right hand upholds me. And then we'll go to rejoicing in the Lord. But those who seek my life, there's still the enemy, to destroy it, shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be portions for the jackal. Other words, God, when you slay them, you're not even going to burn them. They're going to be unburied bodies that the scavengers is just eating up. But the king, he's talking about himself now, shall rejoice in what? God. In God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory, but the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. God, I don't know when you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to stop this. But I know one day when you get tired of what's going on in my life, I'm not bothering nobody. More and more I'm attacked, I praise more. I go to church more. And the enemy don't like that. I guarantee you, when you start praising God and you keep on serious about that thing, them attacks gonna slack up. Because if you tell the enemy, you can push me in a dry place, but in that dry place, I'm gonna call a little bit more on God.